Good morning. It's good to be with you on this Wednesday morning. It's great to continue our time together in God's Word. I always appreciate the support from folks, text messages or emails I get with these Rooted. I'm glad they speak to you. I enjoy doing them. I've been doing them for a long time, and I like the current format we have of trying to do a little video reflection and audio podcast, and then the transcription. For those of you who don't know, if you go to my blog post, which is linked on Facebook and YouTube, you can click on the link from my blog, and you can actually read a transcript of this if you'd like, if you'd prefer to read. So I email that out each morning, and I message it out each morning. So I hope you enjoy it. So we are returning back to the Minor Prophets after spending a couple of days in the Gospels. And I realized as I was looking over where we were, and I realized, oh gosh, I forgot Hosea. You know, I jumped right into Joel. We didn't even hit Hosea. So I realized, oh my goodness, we forgot the first of the Minor Prophets. So what I want to do is I don't want to go back and redo all of Hosea. I really want to jump to my favorite chapter in Hosea, which is chapter 11. But let me give you a little background on the book of Hosea. In general, Hosea is a prophet, much like Amos and the other minor prophets, but his life takes a different turn. We've talked about the prophets in my Sunday school class that I teach on Sundays, and the prophets lived interesting lives. I mean, it's not a their jobs are not a normal 9-to-5 job. The Lord asked them to do some pretty extraordinary things, some very difficult things. And if we were to encounter someone in our context who acted or does what some of the Old Testament prophets were to do, we would probably have some questions about him. Hosea is one such man. He had Hosea marry a prostitute named Gomer, and had Hosea constantly purchase her back. And her infidelities and wandering from Hosea were an allegory for the people wandering from God, Israel's wandering from God. And Hosea is a heartbreaking yet beautiful book of the Bible. I want to read to you, to just kind of summarize Hosea, we're going to read my favorite chapter in Hosea, chapter 11. Where it says this: when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. The more I called him, the more they went away from me and kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them into my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities. It consumes their oracle priest and devours them because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but he does not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Adullam? How can I treat you like Zebulun? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord who roars like a lion. When he roars, his children shall come trembling from the east and the west. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt, like doves from the land of Assyria, and I will return them to their homes, says the Lord. Ephraim has surrounded me with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah still walks with God and is faithful to the Holy One. I love that chapter. Because you see, in this chapter, God's history of kindness to the people. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I called them out of Egypt. I called my son. The more I called, the more they went from me. And so God says, I have reached out to you. I have called to my people. I have called them repeatedly and over I've called them. But it seems as though the more I call, the more they turn from me. And so you see here, this It always just makes me think of Come Thou Fount, that old hymn of the faith. Prone to wander, Lord, I fear it, prone to leave the God I love. You see that played out here, that God called the people, and yet it seems as though the more he called them, the less they came to him, the more they turned from him. So the more he called, the more they ran. And he says, the sword rages in their cities, it consumes their oracle priest. My people are bent on turning away from me. So you see, God almost confounded at the people and their inability to return to him or turn to him. You see God saying, I've called you repeatedly, but you will not come. You will not return. And you see God's frustration, and even his anger. But then I love the shift in verse 8. How can I give you up? How can I hand you over? My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I am God, not and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. I love that. For I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. I first found this passage. I can tell you exactly where I was when I really discovered this passage. I was a junior, probably at Mississippi College. So I was at MC, and I feel like I was a junior. And I was, when you're young, you're full of passion and full of existential dread and all that type stuff. And I just was feeling so heavy and weighed down by my sin, by my desires, I just felt really convicted. Still a pretty young Christian. And just felt overwhelmed at the mistakes I'd made. I just felt completely overwhelmed by mistakes I made, by the struggles I was having, by the doubts I was having, by all the stuff. I felt overwhelmed and felt like God was out to get me, or God was mad at me, or God was judging me. And then I'll never forget reading verse 8 and 9. How can I give you up? How can I hand you over? How can I? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not come in wrath. And I was struck by the fact that God loves us. That God truly loves us. That God's first look upon us is not that of disgust or of judgment, but of love. I heard a preacher this weekend preach. We were out of town and worship with the good people of First United Methodist Church, Baton Rouge. And Brady, the pastor there, gave a wonderful sermon. In that sermon, he talked about how many of us love our pets, how much we love our animals. And if your pet ran away, to what would you just say? Well, my pet's gone. I'm not gonna look, my cat ran away, my dog ran away. I guess that's the way it goes. Of course not. You're gonna put it on Facebook, you're gonna put up posters, you're gonna do everything in your power to bring your pet home, aren't you? You're gonna go to Pet Detective, go to every length to make sure that you're bringing that pet back home because you love that pet. How much more does God love us than we love our pets? If we'll go to these lengths find our pets, how much more will God do for us? How many more lengths will God go to for us to make sure that we are brought home, to make sure that we are redeemed, to make sure that we are loved? He leaves the 99 to go find the one. And that doesn't make any sense until you're the one. When you're one of the 99, you're like, well, that's a waste of time. But when you're the one lost sheep, you see how deep is the Father's love. And when I read verses 8 and 9, when I read this chapter, I'm reminded of how deep is the Father's love. He doesn't look at you with contempt. He looks at you with love today. That doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we've got it all figured out. It doesn't mean that we've made sanctification. But it means that we're loved. And what our world needs for us right now is for us to be that healing agent in the world we encounter. That we take that love of God with us today, as hard as it may be, to our workplaces, to our families, to our ball teams, to wherever we are, because that love of God that can transform our life can be the love of God that transforms their life. And that's what the world needs from us right now as the church. The world needs from us as Christians, is to take that transformative love to all who need to hear it. How deep is the Father's love for me? How deep is the Father's love for you? How deep is the Father's love for all of us? May we live into that truth today. So I love Hosea. It's a wonderful book, but I especially love Hosea 11. Thanks for being with us. Hope you have a great rest of your day.